The 4th of July and FIFA are past, as is professional baseball's All-Star Blast. Tour de France riders work to close the gap. And me, I think I could use a nap. Welcome to Spectrum West, everybody. Good to be back. This week, I'm happy to have you meet Beth Jean. She's an entertainer who specializes in reaching children through song and dance and video. I think you'll enjoy our conversation. We'll sample her sound, and you'll take it from there. There's a book out by a UW Stout professor that's all about the link between music and movies in the 1980s, a truly unique decade where music evolved in a big way. His name is Michael Hegel. He's here with a look at the book and the phenomenon it documents. Jim Oliver and Nancy Scobie look at Oliver, the classic musical, opening soon at the Heidi Center with a big cast and promising a big experience. And we begin this week in the lovely river village of Stockholm, Wisconsin, where the Stockholm Art Fair is a summer milepost. It's only a bit more than a week away. I talked with co-coordinator Kristen Smith Proctor about this, the 46th annual. Always nice to get to know the person with whom we're talking. Let's talk about your talent. I read that your media, or yeah, that would be plural, is fiber.
Yes.
And what else? You paint?
I do, actually. I do batik work. I dye silks. I do some watercolor abstract type paintings as well.
I read that your first experiment with exhibiting your art was putting it up against other pieces for a library poster contest. Is that true?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it is true.
What did you draw?
I think I was 7 or 9.
Did that jumpstart everything else, or did you wait a while to blossom as an artist?
Oh, my gosh. I waited a long time to do that. Yeah, I did a library poster contest.
How did you do?
Well, I won.
Oh, you did?
I drew a picture of a gal sitting in front of her Carnegie Library in Sparta, Wisconsin. It was a huge cover. All you could see was folded legs, hands, hair sticking up behind the book, and it was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Wow. So how long, Kristen, have you been a Stockholm resident?
I have been in Stockholm for a little over 12 years now. I live in the big old Stockholm schoolhouse. My husband and I bought that in 2007.
For a small place, Stockholm, back to Stockholm, a village, actually, it's quite a place to live. Doesn't ever seem to be a dull moment there.
There isn't. We have so much community involvement, just in good neighborly things that happen, you know, potlucks, things like that, helping your neighbor. But, boy, do we have a lot of entertainment that goes on.
Yeah, no kidding. Great places to go even without entertainment. Good places to get a cold beer and neat clothes and good food.
And good food, or walk down in the park next to the lake, the river. I'm definitely a river gal. I'm originally from La Crosse, so I have lived in a few river towns right in this upper Mississippi area.
And artists and galleries and stuff like that. So
it's fantastic.
Yeah, Stockholm has a good reputation. Now, this is the 46th Stockholm Art Fair. It began in 1974. And let's see, what was going on in 1974? Well, inflation was out of control.
Yeah.
Gas cost 42 cents a gallon. The 55-mile-an-hour speed limit was imposed in 74 to save us some gas. Nixon resigned in 74. Foreman and Ali staged The Rumble in the Jungle. Mm-hmm. And the Sears Tower was finished in Chicago. It became the world's tallest building. So that's a history lesson about 1974. Lots has happened since then. And I'm guessing lots has happened to the Stockholm Art Fair. The baton was handed off to you and Leslie Stewart, as Linda Day Dunlap and Gina Cola previously had done it all. So this being the 46th, it has a solid foundation. But for you guys, there's also the responsibility of holding everything up to high standards. What does it take to put this together? Because this is only a one-day deal, and one day of anything requires some very careful choreography. Were you surprised at it?
That's a perfect way to put it. Actually, no, I'm not surprised by that. By trade, I was from the hospitality industry, and I was a meeting planner. And I've done art fairs before. Participated is a better way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels wonderful to be able to use a lot of different skill sets, sales background, all kinds of stuff to bring it together in a real homey way. You know, Stockholm Art Fair has been known for big, friendly hospitality. Leslie and I, just as Linda and a lot of the other founders, don't want to lose that flavor.
I don't think you will. I think you're up to the task.
No, I don't either.
Over 100 artists, and they are splashed very nicely in their tents. There's music, and there is food. I was telling somebody the other day about food. I don't want to spotlight just one thing, but I remember specifically that when I came in, somebody said, you have to go get one of these now, because if you don't, there aren't going to be any left. What is the famous food that this is known for?
Well, I'm going out on a limb here, Al, but okay. I am going to say it's the portobello mushroom sandwich.
That's the one. There you go.
Okay. I mean, we have organic steak sandwiches, and then, you know, who doesn't want a maple ice cream cone? There's quite a wide variety this year. It's really fun.
And if you're out there and you don't want a maple ice cream cone, I wouldn't admit to it. So this is the 20th, July 20th, 10 in the morning until 5 p.m. I think anybody who has been to Stockholm would realize that there really aren't any huge parking lots anywhere. So what about parking? Do you still have a shuttle service?
We do. Thank you for bringing that up. We have actually quite a few different parking options, obviously right on Highway 35, but there is parking right in the park itself.
Okay.
That's paid parking throughout the village. And then we also have a shuttle that runs from a field that's right up behind 2nd Street, and they're running throughout the entire event.
We've been diligent in trying to get through a lot of information here in a short amount of time, but anyone can go online and get all the details.
All of the musician lineup is done, too. Yada has done a wonderful job pulling that together again this year. It's his 40th year of doing that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. It's one thing to be a good musician, but he's also a really nice guy.
Oh, peace and love.
Yeah, no kidding.
That is Yada.
That's
peace and love. Music.
Yep. The website is stockholmartfair.org. Kristen Smith Proctor, our guest here on WPR. I want to thank you for being with us, and congratulations on, a lot of times someone can hand you a baton, but you don't have to take it. You decided to take it. Good for you.
I did, and it takes a lot of people that help us out. Believe you me, we have wonderful volunteers.
Well, we'll see you on Saturday, the 20th.
Great. Thanks so much. I'm thrilled. This kind of stuff really makes a difference. Leslie and I are in booth number one, and I'd love to buy you a sandwich.
Well, I hope it's clear why I left that last sentence in. It would be hard to go back on something declared so clearly and so far and wide, don't you think? The Stockholm Art Fair, a week from Saturday along the beautiful Mississippi River. Stick around to meet Beth Jean, musician, singer, writer, animator, video producer. Also, that children have someone to call their own in our neighborhood. A book about the 1980s, the movies and music. And next, it's Oliver on Oliver. This is Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio, and support comes from Art Z Gallery with Observations of Imagination, showing found object assemblage by David Smith, landscape paintings by Megan Schmidt, and silver and stone jewelry by Brenda Hack. ArtZGallery.org. Support also comes from the Great River Shakespeare Festival in Winona, now through August 4th, with White Rabbit, Red Rabbit, where the actor has never seen the script and everyone must learn to keep a secret. grsf.org. Here's a Spectrum memo for you. The West Denmark Heritage Council presents an evening with Peter Yarrow and Son Christopher in concert Saturday, July 27th, 7:30 p.m. at the West Denmark Lutheran Church in Luck. I have a feeling we may be talking with Peter Yarrow again next week, so don't miss that. Opening that night is a couple members of Mustard's Retreat, David Tamalevich and Libby Glover. That's her name. WestDenmark.net is the website. You can click on concerts when you're there. Well, senior correspondent Jim Oliver is feeling the pulse of West Wisconsin theater companies and productions, and he's so involved, we like to believe they named a musical after him. Here he is.
Oliver is a British musical with music and lyrics by Lionel Bart. The musical is based on the novel Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens. The play premiered in London's West End in 1960 and successful long runs on Broadway in New York, as well as tours and revivals. In 1963, Lionel Bart received the Tony Award for Best Original Score. Additionally, its 1968 film adaptation won 6 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. The Heide Center for the Arts of Chippewa Falls will present Oliver Thursday, July the 18th, through a matinee on Sunday, July the 21st. The director is Nancy Scobie, with musical direction by Jerry Way. Nancy Scobie joins us. Welcome back to Spectrum West.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Tell us about the Dickens story as it's adapted for the musical stage.
This is a Dickinsonian script. The dialogue is pretty dark. Sometimes we think of musicals as just musical comedies. This is not. This shows us the streets of England, and we are introduced to workhouse orphans with that wonderful song, Food, Glorious Food, which is a showstopper. It is a bittersweet show. We learn that in spite of the harsh realities of life, there can still be joy, and there can still be hope, and there can still be a certain breath of life that has great energy in it. Now, please remember that the streets of London in the 1850s were very different. Everyone, the wealthy and the poor, walked the streets. And so there was an intermingling and a kind of sense of taking care of each other. There was a commonality for the people. And remember, certain areas of London were designated for poorhouses and workhouses, and it turned out to be a great tragedy for the society in England at that time. Didn't work out well at all for them. In this show, however, you'll meet some wonderful characters, and you will fall in love with Oliver, with the orphans, and you will fall in love with the pickpockets. They are doing the best they can do to survive and to live. And I think our job as performers is to bring this era to life so we can enjoy a universal experience of hope and joy in the midst of a very harsh reality.
Well, how large is the cast?
Oh, I have a very large cast. We fill the stage at the Heide Center. There are 16 orphans, 25 to 30 leads and support characters in the show. A total cast of between 50 and 60, and additional support staff, the musicians, my technical team, and two additional directors who are sitting in the director chair part of the time, Sue Decker and Paula McDonald, who are directing certain segments of this show. So a total group of about 80 people, not only performers, but those invisible people that help make this show real theater magic.
She is Nancy Scobie, who is director of the musical Oliver at the Heide Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls. Well, where do you recruit all of your actors and
it's all by word of mouth, I assure you. It just happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, children came out of the woodwork this year. I'm working with some children who I've worked with in the past who are seasoned performers. Mm-hmm. And I have some children who are brand new. And guess what? The seasoned performers teach the brand new ones. Mm-hmm. I also have a good support team of parents. A big thank you to the parents of the small children, because in my orphans, their age is 6 to 9. So the parents have been there for all of the rehearsals, which is really a great commitment on their part, a wonderful thing to have them there. So no child gets lost in the Heidi Center. As soon as they come off stage, they are whisked away by their parents like magic.
Well, who are the principal actors?
Oliver, of course, is the main character in this show. You don't direct an Oliver unless you have an Oliver in mind. Mm. And he was Winthrop in the show The Music Man last year. So his name is Ben Siegenthaler. He's 11 years old. Another main character in the show is Fagin, played by Paul McDonald. Paul played this role when he was in high school about 30 years ago, and he's playing the role again, aside from set design and construction for the show. The Artful Dodger is Ellen Ruthie, a high school student that I've had the joy of working with, maybe 5-6 years back every summer to our summer family of performers. Ellen now is in his first year of college. Jason Jance is playing Bill Sykes. It's like homecoming for at least two of my performers. Jason has been Oliver when he was a child in the show, and then he was in a second performance several years after that, and now he's playing Bill Sykes. He's been in this show 3 times in 3 different roles. Hmm. That's neat. It's neat to have people who love this show so much that they return to it again and again. And then Mr. Bumble, isn't that a wonderful name, is being played by Father Bill Felix. Mrs. Corny, these names are so Dickinsonian that it just makes one laugh and smile. Mrs. Corny is played by Heather Rogge. Those are the main big characters aside from the Sourberries. And the Sourberries, guess what? They take care of the funeral home where Oliver is sold off to work in. Hmm. And they are owners of the funeral home. And that's a perfect name for them, too. And they sing a wonderful song. They're played by Peter Dorman and Pamela Schulte. So I've got performers that have worked many years with me. One, since he was a high school student, over 40 years. That's a long time to be around. We also have a great support group with choreographer Luann Wisniewski, costume mistress Edie McDonald. She creates and sews the costumes. My graphic artist, Ellie Rochester, created all the slides that will be used for our backdrop. So, and I've worked with these people for many years. So each summer we kind of get together like a family and put on a show.
Jerry Way is the musical director, and he's well known around here for his musical talent. Tell us about the music in the show.
This show has some amazing music. We are all very, very familiar with the song Consider Yourself.
Consider yourself at home. Consider yourself one of the family. We've taken to you so strong. It's clear we're going to get along.
As long as he needs me. Oh, yes, he does need me. In spite of what you see, I'm sure that he needs me.
As Long As He Needs Me is a beautiful song sung by Nancy, and Nancy is played by Emily Cassara. She has a wonderful soprano voice. This show will prove that she has range as well. Emily's a powerful singer. As Long As He Needs Me is a very haunting melody. I think most of us who are of a certain age know these songs. There's a funny, funny song, I Shall Scream, sung to Mr. Bumble, by Widow Corny. You've Got to Pick a Pocket or Two is Fagin's main song. I didn't know picking a pocket could be as joyful as this is on our stage. He also has another, it's called Reviewing the Situation. I saw this show many years ago in London. It was played very dark. I sat through the show. In fact, I fell asleep. I was just a little jet-lagged, and I thought, well, this is a show I'll never direct. We're not playing it quite as dark. It's a show that children can see without having nightmares, I assure you. Okay.
every summer you do a musical. So what are you thinking about for next year?
Well, it's always a surprise. You always ask me that question, you know, and it's always a surprise. I have to get lots of people together. And we have to sit down and talk about it. And we will do that as soon as we're done with this show and, you know, look around and see what's being performed in other places because we don't want to compete, generally speaking, with other close-by theater groups.
Well, maybe next year I'll be able to trap you into spilling the beans. That's the way
I don't know.
Well, we've been talking to Nancy Scobie, who is director of the musical Oliver. The play is being staged in the Heide Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls, July the 18th through the 21st. The matinee is on the 21st. For ticket information, go to the Heide Center webpage, or you can call the theater box office at 715-720-4961. Nancy, thanks so much for coming back. We'll see you next year.
God willing, and the creek don't rise. Thank you.
And I suggest you go to the Heide Center website, cvca.net, scroll down to the Oliver event listing, and then watch the video. You'll get an indication of just how well done this production will be. Thank you, Jim and Nancy, Jerry, all the marvelous people who donate their time so that we can have a nice evening or afternoon out. Spectrum West on WPR. And hey, if you lived through the 1980s, old enough to appreciate what was going on in movies and music, then Michael Hegel's book will be just as entertaining. It's called Synthesizers and Saxophones, Montage Pop and Musical Movies of the 1980s. Hegel instructs future entertainment factor designers and producers at UW Stout, and he was kind enough to spend some phone time with me. You grew up in southern Wisconsin. I'm very familiar with Mukwonago, by the way.
Yeah, it did play into the writing of the book in as much as, you know, you're somebody from small town Wisconsin, and in that era, when does culture arrive? Not like it is now where everybody, you know, somebody in Menominee, Wisconsin is getting Stranger Things at the same time somebody in Los Angeles is getting it. So for us living in, you know, where the waves met, from the East Coast and the West Coast, did figure into our understanding of, like, when did breakdancing become a thing? You know, how long did it take for that to get inland to us? It is sort of fascinating to me that media, especially films, had a way to get that culture in between cable and movies and radio, that those things could finally get to us.
But you grew up in the 80s. You played some music. You loved Duran Duran. That's cool.
It's a guilty pleasure.
You made some independent films. Love the title Toga Party Massacre.
That's right, yeah. And film was my inroad to really talking about this stuff in the first place. Mm-hmm. Movies was my first love very early on. I have a drawing from when I was in kindergarten that my mother saved. They had asked, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? And it was a picture of me holding a stop-motion brontosaurus because she had gotten me the book on how King Kong was made. And already in kindergarten, I was saying, yeah, I kind of want to be a stop-motion animator. At the time, I didn't know that movies weren't done on Broadway. So it was full of miscommunication in the drawing. Like, I'll go on Broadway and become a stop-motion animator. You know, as we learn, we get better.
You learned your craft in San Francisco, gleaning a master's degree, and you've taught higher education for nearly 20 years now. At UW Stout, you haven't been there that long.
No.
Your areas of educational expertise are listed as entertainment design and time-based media. I need you to define those for me.
They brought me on rather nebulously to fill a gap in a couple of changing programs. Digital cinema, so I teach some film students.
Okay.
Animation, so those are two that are really in my wheelhouse. And this year I'll be working the senior studio, which also has comics students in it.
Huh.
So they'll be producing final work, and I'll take my producing brain and gap and put that on and help them to navigate the world of low budget media production.
Cool.
Which is my specialty.
From what I hear, Stout is a great place to do all that.
It seems awesome so far.
Okay.
And there's a lot of enthusiastic people there.
I think enthusiasm is a good ingredient for people who are doing what you do.
Absolutely.
Now, my music formula has been, music is good every other decade. That's what I always said as I was growing up. If I'm an old guy, I grew up in the 60s, loving the 60s music, and I liked the 80s. Did your concentration on 80s movie music originate from just the fact your age and you had an affinity for music of the decade? Was it the technical revolution happening in movies and music? Was there an explosion of musical movies in the 80s? What turned on that spotlight for you?
Yeah, all of those are true. I chose to cover the 80s because I grew up in that period, obviously, and became really more savvy about media at that time, too. Some of my favorite things were coming out. Now, in terms of music, my dad had tipped me off to 60s and 70s music, and so I was raised on Beatles and Steve Miller and Supertramp and things like that. So
sure.
Anything hooky, anything with, you know, great pop sensibilities, I was all over. And then as sort of the MTV era rolled out, a kind of a light went on for me. How can I combine my loves of both music and film? Because what those videos were nothing short of, you know, a short film, many of whom told a short story developed a world. And that's where that sort of Duran Duran thing came in. They were kind of at the forefront of that, creating sort of a fashion moment, video moment, a story moment, and something that you could hear the music and have that be separate from it, but to have the visual of what the album art and what the video and what their concert performances combined for the cable-accessed audience was something that raised it to a new level that I didn't have with the Beatles or didn't have with Supertramp.
Yeah.
And then Hollywood was figuring out, maybe in the late 70s, that if you combined good popular music with a movie, and you did so in a synergistic way, like you might have seen with Grease or with Saturday Night Fever, mm-hmm. things like that, you could make a lot of money. Here's an album. We drop it at X period. It gets interest going in the movie, and we drop the movie a few weeks later, and the snowball continues.
Mm-hmm.
And then cable and VHS add to that, too. So, like you say, the technology change that came from the 80s was important, too. People's access to a movie was no longer limited to the time it was in the theater. I think about the time I saw Star Wars for the first time in 77, we managed to get to it in the theater, even in our small town, 5 times. And that was how you did it. You couldn't just go rent it. You couldn't press go and stream it like my kids can watch a thing over again the next day.
Sure.
Or the next minute. If they like it, yeah, can I watch it again? Yep, loop, off you go. And they're gone for another 2 hours. I can work on my book.
On the phone with Michael Hegel. He is a member of the UW Stout faculty, and he has published a book that's called Synthesizers and Saxophones, Montage Pop, and Musical Movies of the 1980s. It's a fun book. You, Michael, list many, many movies of the decade. What was your criteria for making that listing?
Yeah, very good. So it had to be 80s music, and that didn't necessarily mean that it occurred in 1980. I had hoped to start chronologically with 1980 and run it to 89, but I found that a lot of 80 movies were still disco movies. Can't Stop the Music, The Apple, all these things were just really disco. And I went, it's not what people think of when we say 1980s music. So it took, it's a couple years into it where we really start to hit the ground running with things like, I think Flashdance was particularly important in that it had that synergy between music and video and the film itself, and maybe put the music before the film in to some extent. But also, does it have music, pop music? Was the pop music popular enough to kind of chart or at least leave a kind of cultural impact as you might have with, say, punk or hip-hop?
Sure.
Was it a movie that had stars in it that were also musicians, such as the many Madonna movies that happened, the occasional Cyndi Lauper placement, movies with Sting in it, where you saw actors working both sides of that entertainment skill. I think a few other things, but those were the big ones.
You mentioned Footloose, too, in the book, one of the iconic films. On the program just a couple of weeks ago, we had done an interview about Footloose the musical, the play. I went back into listening to some of the tunage from that piece. I had forgotten about it. Kevin Bacon, you know, that's where it started for that guy.
Yeah, and they said he wasn't sexy enough for the part, but they somebody up top convinced him that he needed it. And his career took off from that. But Footloose is a quintessential example of that, because you could say that word to somebody, and they could think of the song, or they could think of the movie, or they could think of both, depending on maybe what they experienced first. For me, I came to that film pretty late. I think I saw it on video. I never saw it in the theater. And I wonder even if I rented it in the period itself. I think I came to it later. And I think probably my initial reaction was pretty silly. But now I kind of see it as this sort of nexus, this cultural milestone where you're having everything kind of firing on all cylinders in terms of how MTV put out clips from the film, how the songs dominated the charts, and that album is still one of the biggest selling soundtrack albums ever.
Only after doing research for Footloose the musical did I realize what the plot was, and I said, well, that that must mean I did not watch the movie. I just enjoyed the music. So now I have to go back and watch the movie. I can fill in the blanks in my life. How's that?
Well, it was a problem for me too, in that I thought I had seen a lot, but found very quickly that I hadn't. So like I kind of started it saying, well, what if I wrote about some breakdancing films? I've seen one of them. Let's see if there's some more. And then there's 9 or 10 more of them.
Sure.
Okay, so now I've got more work to do. I find those films. I watch them. And then I catch up on the things that I think I saw but don't, again, remember what happened. I saw Flashdance in a double bill with Mad Max. But I remember Mad Max, and I don't remember anything about Flashdance.
Yeah.
So it's back to the books for that, and you know, do my homework and revisit those films. But it was a constant case of, oh, if I cover this, then it leads to this, and I have to cover that too. And it was really hard to just kind of dial that back and pick a manageable amount of things, which is, it turns out to be about 75 movies in the book.
Now, the 80s, as we've already alluded, was the decade where the music video was born, and it was really the last of what I call the innocent decades, because after that, in the 90s, kind of all hell broke loose in music. It's where people decided that we needed dozens and dozens of more music categories, and and music included more expression of all kinds of causes and emotions, and rather than writing about love and fun nonstop, as we had done kind of in the past. So the 80s, see if you agree with this statement, the 80s were evolutionary and the transition to the 90s was revolutionary.
Like you say, every decade has kind of a different flavor, and it almost perfectly shifts right around that decade time. Like for me, 91, 92 is when the 90s kick in, and it's pretty similar with the 80s. 81, 82 is where you start to really see that kind of skinny tie, big hair kind of 80s look that we all know and love. The 80s seem to be not only just a time of innocence, but maybe naivete might be better, because here we can take a song like Madonna's Like a Virgin and take it at face value. Or we can say, that George Michael, I want to marry him when I grow up. That's my sister. And that's just not going to work out, as we find in the 90s, when some of that patina of our imagination has worn off a bit, maybe.
The reason I use the word innocent about the 80s, being one of the last decades for that, it seemed as if after the 90s began, the censors didn't really care about lyrics anymore.
Right. And since the book kind of focuses on pop music, pop kind of dies in the 90s and splinters, like you say, into a dozen different things. You have a grunge thing that's making a ton of money. You have a hip-hop thing that's making a ton of money. But you don't have necessarily a shared audience for those things, as you might have had for a Madonna, a Duran Duran, a Billy Idol, where those things were happening in the 80s.
Yeah. I was at a school dance. I was actually chaperoning the dance. The DJ played Money Money, and the kids did the bad lyrics right out loud. I felt as if allowing the kids to do that turned the page. I was one of those parents who just let it slide, and maybe I shouldn't have.
Well, and 80s rebellion did not look like 90s rebellion. I think of something like Twisted Sister, where it's a very obvious cartoon of, you know, how bad heavy metal is, and he's standing on the top of a car with his giant hair and his female-type makeup and torn fishnet stockings. It is obviously a joke the singer is in on and knows that the audience is at least partially in on, and he can't compare that safely or fairly, maybe stuff that we have now or that was in the 90s. You know, in the 90s, I listen to and enjoy Marilyn Manson, who might be the 90s equivalent of that. And it's just got a little bit of a darker, maybe he's taking it seriously, maybe he's not. But you never felt that way about Twisted Sister.
And the other thing is that rap came out after that. And rap artists, they didn't hold back in any way when it came to language. And everybody let that slide, too. It's where things changed.
It's interesting you should say that, because I just recently looked at the lyrics to one of the first rap hits, which was from, I think, about 1979, which was the Rapper's Delight. And I found quite a bit of kind of dirty stuff in there, which it's a 7-minute song. I never had the patience to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it was apparently there the whole time. I was introduced to hip-hop in the 80s with bands like Run DMC because they were played on MTV, and that stuff was pretty clean. And it wasn't necessarily violent. It was a boasting, You know, that was what the MC was all about in the 80s, was I'm the best. And we didn't have to necessarily take it to I'm the best at killing people or shooting people or yeah. drug dealing or whatever. Yeah. That a lot of the 90s and future stuff happened. But I think that's turned around, too. I think there's quite a bit of real positive hip-hop out there, too, that the people are listening to.
Oh, sure. I'm just talking about back to the censors, because when I was a kid, the Kingston Trio had the song Greenback Dollar. There was one version that said, I don't give a boop, and then they had a guitar strum about a greenback dollar. And then the album version came out with I Don't Give a Damn About a Greenback Dollar.
Oh,
and I thought, wow.
Them fighting words there.
I have the pirated version of that song. I felt like I was getting away with something. That's how innocent things were.
Then. Well, I felt that I was working at Best Buy in the late 80s and early 90s, and I was there at a time when they actually had a video rental section. That really had a big impact on my filmmaking education, which I was doing at the time at UW-Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. But what I noticed as I was stocking the shelves with the arrival of things like the Two Live Crew and these really X-rated sure. hip-hop albums. Mm-hmm. So that the innocence had definitely worn off by the 90s, which brings us to why the 80s were such a fun and kind of easy to poke fun at decade. It's easy to kind of brush it off as being all kind of big hair and stupid sunglasses and things like that. But yeah. then you see some of these films like Valley Girl, and you see the beginnings of Nicolas Cage's career, and you hear this great music all piled into one soundtrack in a way that you can't even really get away with nowadays. It was really exciting to kind of revisit some of this attitude.
It's a fascinating book. It's a lot of fun, and I'm happy to note that it is, I guess, the beginning of a series, and we'll look forward to more books from Michael Hegel. So where is the book available?
We've got it in a couple of places, but perhaps the easiest for folks is it's print on demand on Amazon. So if you have Kindle Unlimited, it's a free book. And if you have regular access like everybody else, you can buy it in paperback or digital form.
Synthesizers and Saxophones, Montage Pop and Musical Movies of the 1980s. Michael Hegel, thanks for being with us on WPR.
You bet, Al. Thanks.
You know, I was just thinking, young people are always fortunate to have people like that teaching them, because it's not just do as I say. There's a lot of value in watch what I do and look at how much fun I'm having. Speaking of young people, our focus will be even younger with a guest who loves entertaining kids and those young at heart. Coming up next. But first, things are heating up a bit for theater companies across West Wisconsin. Let's warm up to Jim Oliver for those details.
Thank you, sir. The Eau Claire Children's Theater will present Snow White, the first in this summer's series of For Kids, By Kids, Thursday and Friday, July the 18th and 19th in the Oxford Theater. Weekend comedy will be performed July the 12th through the 28th on Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. as well as Sundays at 2:30 p.m. at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. The Chippewa Valley Theater Guild will present Comedy Improv at the Grand Friday at the Grand Theater in Eau Claire. The show is a fundraiser for the Theater Guild. Fools by Neil Simon, a festival theater production, will play Saturday and Sunday and continue through August the 4th in the Franklin Square Black Box Theater in St. Croix Falls. The musical Oliver will be presented Thursday, July the 18th through Sunday the 21st in the Heidi Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls. The Red Barn Theater of Rice Lake is presenting Mamma Mia. The show will continue through July the 20th. The Little Mermaid opened today, if you're listening on Thursday, in the St. Croix Art Barn in Osceola. The show continues through Sunday and the following Friday and Saturday.
Thank you, sir. This is Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio. Support for WPR comes from Charter Bank of Eau Claire, a locally owned community bank, now offering new checking account options with personalized customer service. More information available at charterbankec.com. Support also comes from Great River Shakespeare Festival in Winona, now through August 4th, featuring No Child, a look at school systems failing children while honoring those working there. More at grsf.org. By the way, Catherine Thomas reports from the Shakespeare Festival coming up next week. Well, her name is Beth Jean. Two names, but only two syllables. Easy for young people in her audience to remember. Her audience is anyone, but mostly kids. She's a Menominee native, and her talent and enthusiasm are boundless. You'll see it in her videos. She's fun to watch. She's fun to listen to and to talk with as well. I have to say, I love it when someone very refreshing shows up. You are a breath of fresh air, and here's why. You are someone holding on to creative, wholesome ways that kids can learn and be entertained. And I sometimes fear that those things might be fading in our wacky and tacky world. So thanks from generations far removed from my own. By the way, speaking of my own generation, Captain Kangaroo, Buffalo Bob, Howdy Doody, Sherry Lewis, and of course Bullwinkle, although he wasn't too musical. Not to mention all the great cowboys who taught me right from wrong. So, hey, way to go on what you do. I'm so glad there's a you.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. Thanks for that lovely intro.
Let's go back, because music's nearly always been important to your life. You started with the violin. Give us a Beth thumbnail, which is one word. I put it all together. Beth thumbnail.
Oh, I like that.
Music. How did that enter your life?
Violin was the first instrument I played, got it going in school, and then went into guitar and writing songs.
Yeah. And you grew up in Menominee.
Yep.
I've always heard that's a good place to grow up.
I think so.
Were you kind of musically oriented at first, or did that come later?
I was really always into dancing. Music was big through dance. I always wanted to dance. Dance, yeah.
Because a lot of people don't morph into writing music.
Right.
It was just a natural thing for you?
I'd like to think so. I had a few bombs, I think.
To be an entertainer, when did that cross your mind?
Well, I always liked it, like I said, dancing. So I was in dance recitals and did all that. So it started young that I wanted to perform. Good. Once I picked up the guitar, Beatles are my biggest favorite band.
Ooh, there you go.
Like
good
a lot
for
of
you.
People. Yeah.
See, I'm liking you more all along. I grew up with the Beatles. I was there when they were there. So the Beatles had an influence?
Yep. Actually, just saw him in Green Bay, Paul McCartney.
I was just going to ask you that. You went.
Yep. He said happy birthday to me.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
How did that
happen?
Cried
like a baby. After the show, when he was scooting out on his tour bus, I had a little sign that said, it's my birthday. And he pointed to me and gave me a thumbs up like Paul McCartney does and mouthed happy birthday to me from his tour bus.
Oh, boy.
And I lost it.
Was anybody taking a picture?
Yes, I do have video. My boyfriend took video,
no,
so.
No kidding.
Thank you, Kevin, for that.
Wow. Paul McCartney wished you happy birthday. So was the show everything you thought it would be?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've seen him multiple times.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good show. Everyone's amazed that he never takes a sip of water in the 3 or some hours he performs.
Hmm.
So he's not of this world.
He's wealthy enough that he might have a hose hardwired into his shirt somewhere.
There you go.
So how about...
He has someone else drink his water backstage for him.
Yes, he can afford that. How about Ringo? Ever see him?
Yeah, I've seen Ringo a couple of times. That actually is a story with that, too. It was one of those, just come and sit down and, you know, wherever you sit, that's your seat. And my brother actually was kind enough to wait all day for me and get our seats in the front row. I was 16 at the time, and during year 16, everyone was pointing to me like, she's 16. So he came over and we kind of danced together. He was on the stage and I was in the audience. We waved our hands together.
Man.
I have a few Beatles stories.
So you became an entertainer somewhere along the line. When and why did the focus shift to kids? When did that happen?
I just figured my music was more that quirky sound kids would like.
You know, in your bio, it talks about MTV and E! Network. Even that stuff, did it feel to you like it would lend itself more to a younger generation and that's why you specialized?
Yeah, I would say so. The stuff that got on MTV, that was more poppier and heavier guitars.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You have a great singing voice.
Well, thanks.
You're humble. You're humble, too. And I can see you being a good pop singer. And that's kind of what you were doing then, huh?
Yeah.
Beth Jean is in the studio with us. If you have kids, grandkids, whatever, you may have seen her. She is the creator of children's music and videos to entertain kids, and we have to add, as she does, and amuse adults. And yes, it does. I was online over the weekend watching some of your videos, and they are intricate. Funky Farm is one that I requested an MP3 of, and I was watching the video, and there's a lot of, well, the Martian thing too, there's a lot of stuff going on, and you're the technician for those. Is it all your work or just some of your work?
I pretty much do it all.
Wow.
With my mom. My mom helps with the construction of the props and costumes and stuff like that. It's a family business, as we say.
Uh-huh. Okay, and so all the animation and the editing, is that self-taught? Were you trained at that?
Nope, that's self-taught.
Must have been a time in your life where you never went anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're self-taught. You know, most things that we see of an entertainment variety have artistic directors and stage managers, and they have this and that. I have a feeling you're going to tell me that you're all those roles as well.
Yep, trying to do it all.
You're a dabbler.
Yeah.
What was the first video you ever did?
The first video. I've done a bunch over the years.
Yes.
I started off on iMovie. I did a claymation. I did a few claymations with one of the first.
So those that, take a while, don't they?
Yeah, so that was fun. But yeah, I've always liked just kind of filming and making goofy little skits.
Hmm. Do you have all those yet? Are they archived?
Yeah, hopefully all my external hard drives don't go kaput on me, but they're all there somewhere.
I'm probably, in my astonishment at all the things you do, showing my age. I know the word Luddite. My Ludditation, maybe that's the word. Because younger generation people who are listening are saying, hell, all these programs are available all over the place.
I use Adobe, the Adobe Suite.
You have to buy that.
Yeah, it's a yearly subscription. They're kind of connected with Photoshop, the Adobe Photoshop. It all kind of is with that whole group.
Yes, we use Adobe Audition.
Well, there you go.
We're recording on it right now, as a matter of fact.
It's in that whole group then, yeah.
So we're kind of fraternity,
you know,
sorority brothers, sisters.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, but there's camera work and stuff. Who does all that?
I do.
You just set up a camera and just...
Big green screen, yeah.
Play around in front of it.
Again, my mom helps, too, like make sure I'm in focus.
Because you dance and stuff on those.
Yeah.
And who draws, let's go back to Funky Farm, who draws the cows and the pigs? Is that you?
That, yeah, I did all that on paper and took pictures.
Jeez.
And put it all in there.
Do you sleep?
Yeah.
You do?
I like to sleep in. I stay up all night and sleep in.
Okay, good. Because you do perform, how do you divide your time between producing videos? Let's do it this way. When I have people in who do things that I'm fascinated with, I ask them what a typical day is like. I'm going to get tired just hearing it, but go ahead.
Well, if I have a show coming up, it's usually then I focus on the show. I don't have any big shows coming up, so now I'm back to focusing on making videos.
Mm-hmm. Are you your own booking agent, too?
Yep.
So how do we book you? BethJean.com.
Yeah, BethJean.com. It's all there.
What kind of shows have you done? I know you were at the Mabel Tainter. You and I have been emailing each other back and forth for about 5 or 6 months, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to that show, but I am going to come to one of your shows, and people will look at me and say, what's that old guy doing?
It's for all ages.
Okay. What kind of shows do you do?
I have a couple shows. So I have a bigger show, which involves a screen, and it plays my videos behind me. In between the videos, there's a little story and a little skit. The audience has to help me with clues.
Ooh.
How to find out what the greatest thing on earth is. So that's one of my shows. I won't spoil it in case you come to a show.
All right.
My littler shows, I have a talking rock that comes with me and helps me perform.
Yes, cool. At the top of our chat, I alluded to kids' worlds being different today. Although the surroundings may have evolved, kids, when they are allowed to be, are still kids.
Yes. They're so funny.
They want to learn.
Yep.
They love to laugh.
Yeah.
They love to eat sweet stuff.
Yep.
So that's got to be heartening for you. It's kind of neat because your audience then stays the same.
Yeah. It's nice to do shows because the audience is definitely more entertaining than I could ever be. I feel like I'm getting a show just as much as I'm trying to put one on. The way they come up and talk to me and stuff, it's really fun.
Is most of what you do just fun and frolicky, or do you ever engage in thoughtful topics, things in society that can trap unsuspecting young people? Do you ever talk about serious stuff?
I like to kind of have the message of being kind and spread love. Yeah, but I like to keep it light and just let kids have fun and dance and sparkle and shine.
That's, yeah. Those are good words. So I'm a parent listening, and I like what I hear. I'll bet you even do birthday parties.
I have not yet.
If the birthday party's big enough, that makes
sense.
Yeah,
there you go. As long as I get a piece of cake, the corner piece. I love frostings. I'm all in if there's cake.
What are you imagining for the future? I could imagine you writing kids' books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, who knows?
You draw things already.
Yeah. Paul McCartney just released a kid's book. If he can do it.
You could really get your foot in the door with publishers. Hey, not only have I just written this book, but look at this. This goes along with it.
You need to be my agent.
Sure, I will.
Okay.
I will, and I think my cut will be very...
large.
No. I was going to say affordable.
Oh.
It's a pleasure talking to you. We're going to watch your career.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My little wish for you is this. Go show the world what love is. Keep smiling bright. Shine your light. This is my lullaby tonight. Through rain or rainbows, always go and show your love. It's like magic with no trick. The things you can do by being kind, you will find smiles appear right in front of you. Sunshine or shadow.
You like that stuff like I do? Well, BethJean.com's place to go. Find it all. She is the host of the Saturday Morning Hullabaloo in Phoenix Park in Eau Claire this Saturday, the 13th. Will Hale and the Tadpole Parade will provide the music. She'll do it again on August 10th. Her name is Beth Jean. Impressive stuff. I'm a fan, and the kids in your life will be too. Again, BethJean.com is the website. Hey, thanks to the other Al, Allison, for promotional support. Thanks to the other Al, yes. Gratitude to Dean for supervision and Kate for archiving. And as usual, thank you guys out there for catching our little show whenever you can. We'll do it again next week. We'll have more fun. Catherine Thomas will join us then. Between now and then, be good. See you then.